Do you want to raise more money and connect with more supporters this Giving Tuesday and throughout the entire giving season? Then check out GiveButter. GiveButter is ranked as the number one software for fundraising, donor management, and auctions by G2, the largest independent software review site. And the best part? GiveButter's all-in-one fundraising platform is completely free to use forever. So just go to jcsocialmarketing.com/GiveButter to create your account, and you could win a free campaign marketing review session with me and the GiveButter team. So go to jcsocialmarketing.com/GiveButter. I can't wait to see you raising more money online. On with the show. Hello, and welcome to Nonprofit Nation. I'm your host, Julia Campbell. And I'm going to sit down with nonprofit industry experts, fundraisers, marketers, and everyone in between to get real and discuss what it takes to build that movement that you've been dreaming of. I created the Nonprofit Nation podcast to share practical wisdom and strategies to help you confidently find your voice, definitively grow your audience, and effectively build your movement. If you're a nonprofit newbie or an experienced professional who's looking to get more visibility, reach more people, and create even more impact, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nonprofit Nation. Happy to be here with you today, wherever you are. I'm your host, Julia Campbell. And today we have an actual nonprofit professional from the trenches to share all of her war stories, successes, tips, and tricks on how she built and continues to build a culture of philanthropy and gratitude at her organization. So we have Maria Shanley. She's the Director of Marketing and Data Management at Second Harvest Food Bank of Central Florida. She's a creative and analytical fundraiser with 14 years of experience in campaign development, brand awareness, and data analysis. Maria sits on panels and speaks at local and national conferences, and we'll both be speaking at Planet Philanthropy in Orlando. Excited about that. She also speaks about fundraising best practices. And when she's not fighting to end hunger in Central Florida, I love this. You can find her rooting for the Red Sox. That's who I root for. With her husband, reading with her 8-year-old, and relaxing with her 2 tuxedo cats. Maria, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here today.
What are tuxedo cats? I don't know what they are. Are they like black and white?
Yes, they have like the white on their down their chest, so they look like they're wearing tuxedos. So that's what we call them, tuxedo cats. I don't know if that's an actual name for those cats, but that's what I've always called them.
I love it. I'm going to look it up on Instagram. I'm sure there's like a whole community around that. But I love rooting for the Red Sox. And as of this recording, we are getting into spring training, second day of spring here. And people that know me know I'm a Red Sox fan. So I think that's great. So Maria, we have known each other online. We've known each other for several years now. And I'm just interested. I want to hear more about your background and how you got into nonprofit marketing. I think people would be very interested in that.
Yes. But first, I also want to just thank you for having this podcast and getting all these great speakers and all the knowledge that you put out there on there, because my team soaks it all in and I soak it all in. So it's something that I really like to listen to when I do my walks.
Oh, great. Thank you. And you always email me. And it really helps me. It inspires me to let me know that this is really helpful. So thank you.
And I'm always sharing it with people. I'm like, you have to listen to this. You have to listen to that. So.
Oh, great. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. So as far as like my journey goes, I came to the United States when I was 7. I spoke maybe 5 words of English coming. I'm sharing that because for me, learning has always been a big part of my journey, whether it's through life or through work. And so school was always easy for me. So I jumped in and got a scholarship at UCF, Go Knights. I've been in Orlando for over probably 20 years. Really like those in college. I was a marketing major and I did a minor in Mandarin Information Systems because I really loved data back even in college when I wasn't even sure where I was going to end up or if I even wanted to work in nonprofit. but I just wanted to have those marketing business skills, right? Mm-hmm. And my parents always pushed that on me. But then the last 2 years of college, I actually spent it traveling to conferences and going to protests. So mm-hmm. I was a huge animal rights activist in college. And then I actually ended up organizing a conference my last year. We had a protest at SeaWorld and 18 of us got arrested at it.
You know, good for you. I mean, not that I'm advocating getting arrested, but good for you for protesting SeaWorld.
Yes, but it wasn't on purpose. It kind of also pushed me away from the philanthropy sector because of the experience I had. So then I was like, I'm going to go work for an architecture company. And at that company, I got to learn more about website building and email marketing. And then I realized I want to go back into philanthropy. And so I applied for a job at a local NPR PBS affiliate in town.
Yes. I got the job. Yes, NPR. I love NPR.
I learned about membership fundraising, which was so interesting and new to me. And I was fascinated by the data and the emails doing that. And also, you know, continued my growth and learning more about web design. And then from there, I was recruited by Second Harvest Food Bank of Central Florida. So I can't share that I've had like multiple jobs and experiences, but I can share that I have, when I first started at Second Harvest, I started our social media channels that first week I was here. And this month, I'll be 14 years at the food bank.
Oh my gosh. I think we need to take a moment because that's amazing. That's truly amazing. There's so much turmoil in the sector and there's so much transition and turnover is what I was trying to say. And a lot of people do not stay in development and marketing jobs for 3 years, let alone 14 years. Fabulous.
Yeah. And I think one of the things and one of the reasons that I love my job is because every year is different and it's really cool when you can grow as your organization grows as well. So when I started there, we were a team of four in development. We're a team of 24 now. I know what it's like to work in a small team, being part of a team, and now I lead two teams at the food bank. So I've had the opportunity to learn and to grow at this organization. And it's been interesting, right? Because we're in Florida. There's always hurricanes. We have recession. We experienced government shutdown. Like all everybody, you know, we went through COVID and then there's more hurricanes, right? And so just learning how to fundraise during all these events that happen, like have just taught me so much about fundraising and stewardship and gratitude messaging. And I think that also helps me or drives me to speak at conferences because like if you were to talk to me like 8 years ago, I would be so scared to speak at a conference. I'm like, no way, no thank you.
I think a lot of us are, yeah.
Yeah, and so I want to just give a shout out to Mark Becker because he kind of pushed me to speak at, I think it was like N10 was the first conference I spoke at and we spoke about our virtual food drive. And since then, I've kind of, you know, I love just sharing the knowledge and hoping that I can help other nonprofits who are doing similar work, whether it's a food bank or an animal organization. I like to talk about email marketing, our monthly donor program and the growth of it. I've talked about our branding campaigns. I talk about our digital ads that we do. So we do a lot of things at the food bank and it's grown in the past 14 years. And I love to be able to share that information. So I think that's that's how I kind of got into like the nonprofit marketing. So it's just really fun. It's always changing.
So it sounds like Second Harvest has really been kind of on the cusp of like innovation and using technology for new things. So something, you know, I we could talk about everything, Giving Tuesday, telethons, monthly donors, gratitude campaigns, branding campaigns. I'd love for you to tell us about the virtual food drive tool. That sounds really neat. I've never heard of anything like that.
Oh yeah. So we basically have, it's a peer-to-peer tool where companies or individuals can fundraise and they set up a virtual food drive and they basically ask their friends to give to it. A lot of our virtual food drive participants are companies, and especially in the fall when we have our messaging out where like the need is greater and people want, you know, everyone deserves to enjoy the holidays, right? And so when we have our messaging out, we encourage our donors, our volunteers to sign up for a virtual food drive. So it's a visual representation of what your gift can provide. And at the food bank, every dollar that you donate provides four meals.
That's right. And for those of you that don't know, I know a coworker of Maria's. She's in my social media for Social Good Academy. And she was telling me that. And I think that's absolutely fantastic that $1 can translate into four meals, because what we were saying is, let's tie this into grocery bills for a family of four. You know, grocery bills have, of course, like quadrupled in the past few months, and how unsustainable that is, but yet how incredible, like how you can stretch a dollar at Second Harvest. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And I think the really cool thing about virtual food drives is we've learned what works with them and what doesn't. And then we've also learned that people, and I think we all know this, right? People want to fundraise how they want to fundraise.
Yes, they do.
You don't want to box them into a virtual food drive, you know? So we're looking to set up like a DIY fundraiser in the next year, because we want to take that peer-to-peer experience that we give with the virtual food drive and translate it into something that's more open and bigger for someone to be able to give back in the way that they want to give back.
Wow. So you lead two teams. You lead the marketing and fundraising team and the data management and analysis team. How do you balance that?
So I balance like mentally. I go for a walk every morning. I do yoga once a week and I meditate. I think COVID really brought meditation into my life, and it works. It's the weirdest thing, but it can calm you. It can shut that voice in your brain off. It just really works. And I don't even know how to explain it, but it just does for me. Mm-hmm. As far as like balancing my two teams, it's hard, but it's also very rewarding. And I say it's hard because in order to work with your team, you have to really be vulnerable, right? You have to share your mistakes. You have to share your experiences. You have to create an environment where you build trust. And when you create that type of environment, you see your team transform, and they almost like end up giving each other feedback. Whereas before, mm-hmm. they were kind of not scared, but kind of afraid to hurt each other's feelings, right? But now we're more open with feedback. We all listen to each other. We communicate with each other. And I think once you have that groundwork of that trust and what it creates, then the work is actually kind of like the easy part. Because then you have a team that really gels and knows how to communicate with each other. And the work is, I feel like that's easy for us now. Mm-hmm. I mean, and really like all the ideas, all the photography, all the stories, that's the team. They're doing it all. I'm just there to help make sure that they have what they need to get their jobs done, and that I'm also cautiously looking for burnout, right? If I see somebody struggling or somebody who is overwhelmed, I work really hard to kind of sense that and kind of help and see, how can I help you with this? How do we work together to move forward? Mm-hmm. With my whole team, like, it's never on one person's shoulder. It is our whole team will help each other with projects.
Well, that leads me to another question that I can hear people listening to this saying, oh, my entire organization is siloed. You know, what I see in a lot of my work with my clients is the marketing director's over here, and then maybe there's a social media volunteer, and maybe there's a development person. Maybe that's all one person, but still the work is very siloed away from the programs, away from the leadership team, away from, you know, the actual workings of the organization. So how do you fight that silo effect, and how do you really bring people together?
Meetings with agendas.
Yes, sounds good to me.
And then just making time to get to know each other, get to know like different departments. And I think that not just my team, but the other half of our development team who handles stewardship and major gifts and volunteers, like within the team, we really work together on campaigns throughout the year. We do a lot of team building together as a development team. We've done Strength Finders training. We've done feedback training together as a team so that we understand what criticism is versus what feedback is. You know, how do we work together to create a stronger team, just our own development team of 24, but then on top of that, how do we build these relationships with our programs department or even our finance department, especially working with my data team? You don't realize how much data and finance integrate with each other, you know, and so that communication is so important. Mm-hmm. And I think it helps that we like each other at the food bank, mm-hmm. because anybody you talk to at the food bank, they just help each other. And mm-hmm. my husband always tells me I work in this bubble that doesn't exist anywhere else.
Yeah.
when I come home and tell him stories.
But you built it. You built it.
Yes. And I'm thankful for the leadership that we have here. You know, they really continued those communications. They pursue professional development for the organization. They create events that we can all come together to celebrate milestones. Or during COVID, our kitchen team was also helping provide lunch for staff who were here during COVID, because half our team went remote and the other half stayed. And so I guess it's just building that culture of working with each other and helping each other. Communication is such an easy word to say, but it's really a very complicated thing to do.
Building this culture of, you know, philanthropy, culture of teamwork, where everyone's working on the campaign together, is the reason for success. Because I've had a lot of clients and I've had a lot of students in my courses that come to me and they say, you know, I want to do this campaign, but there's really no buy-in from the top, or it seems like I'm just another thing on this long list of to-dos for the marketing team, or I feel like it's just being shoehorned in with other responsibilities and putting out fires. So I love what you're saying, that everyone is working on this campaign together and everyone's invested in the success of the campaign, and it's not on one person's shoulders. I think that's really important.
And Julia, so I listened to your podcast and I heard you talk about marketing and fundraising under the same umbrella, right? And I was talking with Lacey about this yesterday as well, because we like to talk about all these things, and we definitely, it is under one umbrella, but I do have two different positions devoted. One is to marketing and mm-hmm. one is fundraising. I don't right. have, and because they understand each section, they understand the work that the other one is doing and how they mm-hmm. work together with it. Mm-hmm. I think that's why for us, that marketing calendar that we have includes so many different types of messaging, and we're not competing with each other.
Yes.
But it's yes, not exactly. easy, though. Like, there are a lot of conversations that have to happen, right? Because everybody mm-hmm. wants to talk about their program or have their stuff in the spotlight. But yep. we work together as a team to make sure that it's a balanced message out. And we have all these channels that we can use. And how do we make sure that we're sharing that story, you know, to all the different types of donors and supporters that we have?
So this brings me to talking about donor communications, because I know that Second Harvest focuses a lot on incorporating gratitude and impact, like you infuse it in your yearly messaging. So tell me about this and how it comes about. And also, like, can gratitude be systemized?
Yes. And so for us, and I always tell my team this, and then one day it stuck in my head, I was like, well, you know what? There are only 365 days in a year. And there are only 12 months, and there are only 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks every month, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I first started laying out my yearly calendar with my messaging, I just saw all our fundraising messages on there, and it just looked very one-sided. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we need to change this. We have to share gratitude and impact. And so what my calendar now has is within each of our, I have an Excel spreadsheet with all the months and all my channels, right? And within each channel, most of the channels, I have three different sections. I have a section for cultivation, stewardship, and engagement. Mm-hmm. Cultivation it's a match campaign where we're driving gifts for a specific reason. Stewardship is a thank you story or a message about impact of maybe how many meals were provided this summer to kids, or how many school markets, which is a pantry at middle schools, you know, how many kids were fed that year. And then I have engagement. Engagement is the messages that include like ways that somebody can get involved, or just like stories of the food bank, of donors that have raised money for us, or donors that set up like a virtual food drive, or mm-hmm. our super volunteers that we have. We have brand ambassadors at the food bank. They go out into the community and they table for us and talk about us. They go through a training. We have a young professional group that also does fundraising for us. So we have these really great stories that we can put in these engagement messaging that we have out that really inspire others to give back and to give. Mm-hmm. And so I think when I look at my calendar, and when I look at the different types of messages that we include, then I work with my team to map it all out in Asana. We love Asana.
I use monday.com, but yes, I love Asana too.
And it's nice because then we can look back at like previous years and see like what we did those years. But it really helps us integrate and make sure that our messaging is balanced out. And we, when we meet as a team every Monday, we can kind of look and see what's coming up and making sure that like we always include like gratitude in there. And then something that I think a lot of nonprofits worry about is I don't have time to write like a gratitude story, right? Like, where am I going to find another story? Mm-hmm. And so we are big proponents of reusing content.
Yes, reusing content. I love it.
Story.
Let's not reinvent the wheel every time.
Exactly. And so that's what we do. You know, we talk about a story. We talk about what are the different ways we can use the story? How can we use it in direct mail, social media, email? What parts of the story can we use? Because every channel that you're on is going to have like a different part of the story. You're not necessarily going to tell the whole story. And then most importantly, when we do a fundraising campaign and we use a story, because we're segmenting some of our donors out of those asks, especially like our monthly donors, we take that story and we use it as a thank you story. And so every month, our monthly donors get a thank you story because it's a story that we used in an ask that we had for that campaign that month.
Mm-hmm. I just think this is so helpful. So to review the three categories, which most people I think would lump together, but I love that you spell them out: stewardship, cultivation, and engagement. And you go from there. So it's sort of like looking at your communications plan and your calendar, not from the nitty gritty of like the blocks and like, oh, this event, this event, this event. It's what do we want to accomplish this year? What are our themes? And how do we want people to feel? And how do we want them to get these communications? And what goal of the donor journey, like which piece of the donor journey are we hitting? It's just so strategic. I think a lot of us just sort of react. How did you get into this proactive mode? And like, what tips do you have for other development or marketing people that really want to be this proactive, but maybe are facing some roadblocks?
I think you have to start saying no to some things.
Yes.
You really have to look at your schedule and look at your plan and take that time or make the space to really sit down and think about it. A lot of times you're right. We are being reactive and we don't take the time and the space we need to really plan out. And a lot of times I think like a lot of nonprofits don't have the capacity to try to do everything they want to do. And that's where you have to step back and start saying no to some things and really come up with a plan. It's helped me immensely coming up with that yearly plan. Wasn't always like that for me. I was probably reactive the first probably 8 years I started at the food bank because I didn't have the team I needed to be able to get. I was very ambitious. I didn't have the team I needed to get the work done. And, you know, I burned myself out several times. And it's just learning and understanding that if I don't make the time to look at the numbers, to look at the data, to see what's working, you know, it's almost like you're throwing like spaghetti at the wall and trying to see what's going to work, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, now we are more strategic in all our messaging and all our channels. And I encouraged my team to tell me that when they're not able to do anything else, and mm-hmm. it's okay, because I'm going to support them with that. And let's figure out what can we do and how do we do it? And mm-hmm. I think having a year plan when you do this is super helpful because you've mapped out that work already. And we know things come up, right? Disasters come up, hurricanes come up, right? Mm-hmm. And now that we've experienced as a team, maybe two or three hurricanes together, for us, it's like, we already know all the things that have to happen, all the things that we need to do. We have plans in place already. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not being as reactive, but we want to take time to take care of yourself. You know, especially with a hurricane come, if you don't have power, you don't work. You know, like there are some, not everything has to go out, and just give yourself that grace to not be perfect.
I think that this would be a fabulous speaking topic, creating a yearly communications calendar in a noisy, crazy world. How do we create this yearly calendar? How do we reuse content? I think that'd be fantastic. I think a lot of people would want to learn about that. So you have survived global pandemics and, like you said, hurricanes, a lot of natural disasters, government shutdowns, all those things. And I know just based on the data that donors came out in record numbers to support food pantries during the pandemic. What are you seeing, you know, and how are you navigating fundraising post-pandemic?
So I asked my data guy to pull this number for me, because I think that sometimes I block out COVID because of how stressful it was for myself and my team. In that first year of COVID, we acquired 42,000 new donors. So it's a staggering number. So a big focus on stewardship started once we were able to be proactive. I think we spent COVID was a disaster. It was a hurricane that lasted for 2 years for us.
Yes.
Our world, you know, one day we left the food bank and we weren't allowed to come back.
Oh, gosh.
You know, we had to figure out how to work remotely with each other. Mm-hmm. And then people were scared. Like it was kids were home. My team trying to work with little ones at home. Mm. And so I always get a little PTSD from when I hear COVID.
Yeah.
But now we are able to be more proactive. And thankfully, because of the growth that the organization has had, because of the generosity of our community, we've been able to grow our programs and help more people in so many different ways. But on the fundraising part, we've also been able to invest in positions and to really focus on the stewardship part of the work that we do, whether it's through gratitude messaging, our newsletters, but also on the major donor side, where, you know, we added some major gift officers. We have a Feeding Hope Society, which is like a society that thanks a specific level of donors. Mm. And that's what they do. And they create events for them. We do thank you calls every week to donors as well. So stewardship is a huge part of retaining these new COVID donors. Mm-hmm. We definitely have seen it's going down, but now it's starting to balance out. And so it was kind of not funny, but it was, you would just send an email out and it would just raise like so much money. Mm-hmm. And we were just like, what is happening? Because people just really wanted to help and they wanted to give. And I think that's why it's so important, you know, not just during COVID, but every month, you know, your nonprofit is doing amazing work, mm-hmm. you know, and you don't need to put together this crazy brochure or some really long story, but you know, it's so important to share your mission and to mm-hmm. share the work that you're doing. Because whether you're thanking someone or asking someone for money, you're really just sharing information about what's happening in real time with mm-hmm. your supporters. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we continue to do.
I want to get into marketing campaigns, but I want to talk more about fundraising while we're on this topic, because I know that you loved what Stephen Screen had to share on Nonprofit Nation. That was one of my most popular episodes. He's just so phenomenal. Everything he said, I just wrote down and was like clapping. But the myth of donor fatigue. So are you seeing this? Like, how do you fight this myth in your own work?
So I was on a walk when I heard that podcast, and I was just kind of put my hands up in the air every time he mentioned something new. So thankfully, because I do oversee the data team, I'm able to work with our data manager to look at data and numbers and what, you know, with the, we ask every single month, right? We run a camp fundraising campaign every month. And what I'm seeing is our donors are giving between 2 and 3 times a year. Mm. Our monthly donors are giving when we ask them for additional gifts. What else am I seeing? I'm seeing like our virtual food drive donors who just started a virtual food drive will continue and stay as donors. And so for me, I'm able to fight that because I'm seeing the things that we're doing are working. I look at our emails. I look at like our unsubscribe rate. I look at the how much they're raising. We started testing out impact emails and removing donate buttons from them. And I'm finding that they're raising just as much money as if you were to put a donate button on them, but the unsubscribe rate is lower. Hmm. Because some people see that as an ask, but others don't. And so we're just kind of testing that out to see what happens. I do like to incorporate, especially during end of year when we are running like 4 different campaigns in like 2 or 3 months, that impact messaging is always in there. That story is always in there. Mm-hmm. Because especially in the fall, like I've seen some of those gratitude emails with no donate buttons raise more than some of our ask emails.
That's just so interesting. I love this. It's very data driven. You are head of data analysis, so this is helpful. People should not stop asking, but they should test. Like you just said, put a donate button, don't put a donate button, put a link, don't put a link, send more emails, send fewer emails. I think that's just so important that you test things out, but you're not afraid to, you know, share your impact and ask for support when you need it. So I think that's really interesting. And beyond fundraising, what I love that Second Harvest does, the educational multi-channel campaigns, and I've seen that this is food campaign, but you tell us a little bit about how you choose what to focus on and how you organize these sort of education campaigns.
Yeah. So we first started with like a Spark campaign, it was like a What's Your Spark campaign, because we got a grant from Walmart where we had to kind of go around and share people's whys at the food banks. I think that's where we first started with some educational campaigns. But This Is Food was a really big campaign for us because we actually went through a brand study where we were trying to figure out, should we change our name? Because anytime somebody came to the food bank, they always leave saying, you're more than a food bank. Our food bank, you know, we work with 625 nonprofit partners, and that's how we're able to get food out to 300,000 people every day. We also have a culinary training program at the food bank that teaches adults to cooking skills and life skills. We also push nutrition at the food bank. Any food that we're distributing, we like to add recipes. We have cooking classes. We do advocacy work at the food bank where we're talking to officials. We're encouraging our community to engage and reach out to the officials as well. And so after this brand study, we found that our name is really powerful, and people know, even though our name has food bank in it, people know some of the work that we're doing. So then we're like, well, how do we educate our community about the work that we do? And that's where the This Is Food campaign came from. And so for us, it had different pillars. It was like food is change, food is medicine, which ties into like the nutrition part of the work that we do. Food is success. That ties into the culinary training program. Food is learning, ties into like the kids need food to grow and learn. And food is change. That's the big one, right?
Because food is change.
Action can create a ripple effect and help so many in our community. And the cool thing about this campaign, it was all story-based. So every theme we had a story tied to it. So we were able to launch this campaign in August, September. We had digital ads. We did print ads in our community. We did a brochure. We added it to our speaking engagements that we had. And now we are going to continue this campaign every year, but modify it a little. So this year we're celebrating our 40-year anniversary. And so we're going to incorporate the different pillars of this campaign to celebrate 40 years of work. So we're still trying to figure that out.
That's amazing.
But it's so important to educate and to share
the
work that you're doing. And sometimes, you know, people get confused when they come to the food bank because they don't realize everything that we're doing.
I know a lot of the people listening can completely relate to that statement. They're known for one thing, but it's so much more. And it translates into so much more, and it means so much more. So storytelling is a huge topic of importance for my audience, something that I'm very interested in. So how do you collect, craft, share the stories about the food bank in such an organized way?
So I don't know if we're trying to get organized.
It seems organized, but...
Well, that's all due to Erica Spence. We hired a storyteller position 5 years ago, and when she started, we got a hurricane 2 months later.
Wow, geez.
And she's just been such a huge part of storytelling at the food bank. And thankfully, because of her, she's also helped train other people on our team, like our multimedia specialist who takes videos and photos and goes out in the field. You know, she's learning how to collect story. Our community kitchen marketing manager is who works with our culinary students. He's also learning to collect stories. And so it's hard to just have one person at the organization collect and write all the stories. It's really about training your programs team, letting them know like what to look for and what questions to ask, and then being able to follow up with some of those stories.
Oh, it's creating that culture that you have successfully created where everyone is willing to help and pitch in towards the fundraising, marketing, storytelling, impact sharing efforts. So kudos to you. I think that's fantastic. Also, hiring a storyteller, that's like a dream come true. I think a lot of organizations would love to do that. So that should be something that I think even small nonprofits should aspire to, because it's the person that is the champion. It's the person that's coordinating everything. So it doesn't always fall on the development director, the marketing director. But I think that's fantastic. I know we could talk for another 5 hours. I'll have to have you on again. But just to wrap it up, where can people find you, connect with you, and learn more about Second Harvest?
Yeah. So you can find me on LinkedIn. Just look up my name, Maria Shanley. I like to share all things leadership, fundraising, as well as Second Harvest campaigns that we're running and just impact of things that we do. I'm so thankful I work for an organization that just helps so many in our community and does it in a really smart and innovative way. And it's really inspiring. I just love sharing all the work that we do. But you can also learn about Second Harvest if you go to feedhopenow.org as well on our website.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your expertise and just being so willing and generous to share your time.
Well, thank you. I love doing this.
Well, hey there. I wanted to say thank you for tuning into my show and for listening all the way to the end. If you really enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app, and you'll get new episodes downloaded as soon as they come out. I would love if you left me a rating or a review, because this tells other people that my podcast is worth listening to. And then me and my guests can reach even more earbuds and create even more impact. So that's pretty much it. I'll be back soon with a brand new episode. But until then, you can find me on Instagram at JuliaCampbell77. Keep changing the world, you nonprofit unicorn.